Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor LeCain. We have two exciting topics today. First, we talk about an innovative way to challenge Trump that you can participate in. Our second guest is a climate denier who tells the story of spending 20 years denying climate change and then had a change of heart and became a climate activist. He gives us advice on how we can talk to climate deniers and change their hearts, minds, and votes. First, the innovative way to challenge Trump. Many of us are deeply concerned about the current occupant of the White House. One man has come up with a great way to express our concern. Sign a petition asking Congress to censure Trump. The man is Jules Bernstein, a distinguished labor lawyer based in Washington, D.C., and he's here to talk with us today about the petition to censure Trump, what it is, and why it's an important strategy. Jules Bernstein, welcome to All Together Now.
Glad to be here, Eleanor. Thank you.
I was excited to learn about your petition here and eager to share with our listeners what you're doing. Can you start by just defining what is censure?
Censure is a very well-established congressional procedure in which either the Senate or the House of Representatives votes by a simple majority to condemn or express disapproval of a member of Congress or a president, for that matter, for kinds of misconduct that are engaged in while in office. Censure goes well back in American history, and as a matter of fact, Donald Trump's favorite president, Andrew Jackson, was censured in 1834 by the Senate for withholding documents, and the infamous Senator Joe McCarthy was censured by the Senate in 1954 for bringing the Senate into disrepute. So this is a procedure that has been employed very frequently in the course of American history.
Yes, it's great, and I think it hasn't had as much attention as it deserves, but you point out in an upcoming article that the petition for redress of grievances is actually recognized in our Constitution. Can you say a little bit about that?
Surely. Actually, the petition for a redress of grievances predates the Constitution, and what the Constitution says is Congress will make no law limiting the right of people to petition for a redress of grievances. It goes all the way back to the Magna Carta in 1215, and it was very influential in connection with such petitions seeking to eliminate slavery in the 1830s and 1840s. And it's a way in which individual citizens can bring their grievances directly to Congress asking for action by either the House or the Senate.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so happy you know about this means that we have to express our concerns about what our political leader is doing, what the current president is doing. And there is so much there that you could see as grounds for having censure by Congress. What are some of the actions by Trump that you think merit censure?
Well, if you go to censure Donald Trump, censure donaldtrump.com, you will see all 15 of our grounds for censure, going back to the very first day when he took the oath of office till today. He is in violation of the emoluments clause of the Constitution that prohibits a president from receiving any thing of benefit from a foreign country. Trump continues to receive such benefits. For example, recently he was granted patents or trademarks by China and other countries, and that's all illegal. Now, there are three lawsuits pending in our country challenging him under the Emoluments Clause, but that's a slow process. So I say that the Emoluments Clause is one of the leading grounds, but there are many others, and I would say the leading ones include the firing of FBI Director Jim Comey for his refusal to terminate the FBI investigation of Russian interference in the election, as well as his investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Also, Trump has encouraged police misconduct, and he has withdrawn lawsuits against certain police departments, like the Chicago Police Department, for engaging in misconduct that had been originally been filed by by President Obama. And then there is the recent ending of the DACA program for 800,000 Dreamers. Also pardoning the flagrant law violator Joe Arpaio. So the list goes on, and we add to it practically daily. So there are many legitimate grounds for censure of Trump.
Exactly right. Well, you know, there's just so many actions by Trump that warrant a censure or kind of a condemnation, really, by the American people and hopefully our elected representatives in Congress. You've just named several, you know, really any one of which would be grounds alone for censure. This thing, the one you mentioned first about receiving profits from foreign governments, that it's actually in violation of our Constitution that the president received profits from foreign government. It's basically, you know, we're trying to prevent bribery here or trying to prevent our presidents from being unduly influenced by foreign governments. They should have first and foremost the interests of the American people at heart and not their self-interest for profit. So I would think just that one issue alone would warrant censure. Would you agree?
I would. Let me also say that if you go into the history of the Emoluments Clause in the Constitution, you will see that there was concern that foreign governments would basically be able to unduly influence American leaders and presidents, and that's why the provision is there. So he is blatantly violating it, and it certainly is a basis for censure.
Right, good.
If not impeachment, for that matter.
If not impeachment, exactly right. So let's talk about impeachment for a minute, because your petition calls for censure, not impeachment. So even though there are grounds here, it seems pretty clear to call for impeachment. Why are you going for censure and not impeachment, and what do you see as the difference?
Well, there are many differences, but to basically make it simple, first of all, impeachment is a long process involving impeachment by the House and then conviction by the Senate and a long trial. And mm-hmm. then in order to convict a person in an impeachment proceeding, you need a two-thirds vote in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Whereas for censure, all that is required in either house is a simple majority. And it doesn't require a lengthy proceeding. So I could see Republicans, so let's say 34 Republicans, could very well hold off conviction of impeachment, whereas the majority rule for censure is easier to meet. And the standard of high crimes and misdemeanors is not required for censure. So censure can be more immediate, and it could be a stepping stone toward impeachment.
Right, exactly. So just, you know, we've seen impeachment before. It's been rare, but it has happened. And you're right. It's a very lengthy process. The charges are brought, I believe, in the House, and you mentioned that it goes to a trial in the Senate. So it's an actual trial where the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court presides and, as you say, requires proof of commission of high crimes and misdemeanors. So it's a very lengthy, involved process, and I think the reality, given that we have Republicans controlling both the House and the Senate, and the president is a Republican, it's highly unlikely that they're going to go for impeachment at this stage. But the censure that you're talking about just involves a simple majority vote in either the House or the Senate, and there's no real official standard that they have to reach or some kind of bar of the body that the behavior being exhibited is not acceptable and warrants some kind of retribution by the legislators. Is that right?
Let me add to that. One might ask the question, well, but still the Republicans have a majority in the House and Senate, so why might there be censure? Or might there be enough votes for censure? Well, I think the answer to that is that Trump has been alienating daily within recent weeks many of his Republican supporters in Congress, and most of them don't look forward to having to defend him when they run for office in 2018. Some of them might even be willing to vote for censure on some issues to prove their independence to their constituents in order to get reelected. So getting a majority for censure before November 2018 is hardly out of the question as far as I can see.
I think that's right. And I think, you know, from a strict political analysis right now, Trump has had about a 37% support among the American people overall. So you think, well, how could he possibly govern? It's way less than half the people backing him. But the problem being that that they're really pretty much all in the Republican category, so a lot of the people within a Republican primary might favor Trump, and that would be hard for a Republican member of Congress to go to get the nomination by the Republican Party if they go against Trump. But the reality is the vote to actually get elected is not just the nomination for the party. The vote is going to be by all the members in your district, all the members in your state for the people in the Senate. And when you reach that level, you're right. I think a lot of these Republicans in Congress now are going to want to be able to show that they weren't just lapdogs for Trump going willy-nilly disregarding the laws of the country.
Exactly. Time will tell.
Time will tell. And I also like what you mentioned. You could think about this in stages in a way that we can begin with the petition to censure, try to get the censure vote in the House or the Senate or possibly both, and just see who votes for it. And that could give us some sense of the body of where do people stand and, you know, put people on the spot. Do you support the president breaking the law? Or do you stand with the American people? And I think that would be important for the voters to know.
Exactly. I think that's a great point. It's kind of a test for politicians. Are they going to just basically be indifferent and look the other way or not? And that can really have some impact in terms of the election. And then you get the split with the Republicans. Where you have the Bannon people being more extreme and wanting to take on incumbent Republicans. So the Republicans have their difficulties right now over Trump.
Right, exactly. So how many people have you found supporting this petition to censure the president?
Well, since we started, which is less than 2 months ago, without very much publicity, we have over 55,000 signatures, and more keep coming in. It's more a question of once people find out about it, they sign on in droves. So our job is to basically get the news out and get people involved. But the people who have signed up come from left, right, and center. As a matter of fact, one of our signatories is law professor Richard Painter, who was the ethics guy for George Bush at the White House between 2005 and 2007. We anticipate we will have lots of additional signatories, but the issue of the number of signatories isn't the most important. When you think about the fact that I believe it was 63 million people voted for Hillary Clinton as against 60 million for Trump, there would be tons and tons of more people signing on. I think the ultimate issue will be the members of Congress, and especially the Democrats, as to whether they are prepared to go forward with censure.
Right. And, of course, we also have working at the same time the investigation by the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. So we have, you know, more to come still on what he's going to find, and the findings from his investigation, I'm sure, will sway some hearts and minds.
Sure.
How can our listeners sign your petition to censure Trump? What do they do?
Well, as all you have to do is go to censure Donald Trump without any spaces, censuredonaldtrump.com, and you will find our website, and there are the instructions as to how to sign on. It's really easy, and we urge people to join up, sign up, and it's a way for ordinary citizens who can be wringing their hands about what are we going to do about Donald Trump, to do something positive, send it to your friends, tweet it to people, build some momentum, and basically mention to your members of Congress that you are supporting the idea of censuring Trump. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you, to sign the petition to censure Trump, you go to censuredonaldtrump.com. That's censure DonaldTrump.com. And just before we got on the air, I was talking to a longtime friend of mine who had a heart attack last week. And thank God she's recovering and she's doing fine. But when we were talking about it, you know, part of what has caused her great angst is kind of watching what happened with the election, watching what Trump has done while he's been the occupant in the White House. And it's literally been, you know, breaking her heart and such anxiety over what he's been doing in there and where he's bringing our country. I mean, you didn't even mention this thing about when we had the rallies down there in Virginia, where the president gets out there and starts equating the Nazis and the white supremacists with the people who are standing up against racism. So I think it's so important to be able to have practical things that we can do, and this is one step all of us can take, whether you're left, right, middle, apolitical, anti-political. Sign the petition to censure Trump. Go to censuredonaldtrump.com. And when are you thinking about delivering the petition to Congress?
Well, you know, in politics, as in life, as they say, timing is everything. And we plan to file our petition for redress of grievances with every member of the House and Senate before the 2018 elections. but we're not sure when would be the best possible moment to do so. So we're going to wait and see. Hopefully we will be able to strike when the iron is hot, whenever that will be. So all I can say about the actual date is stay tuned.
Right, exactly. And there may be, we can count on another behavior by this guy in the White House to...
All I can say is I hope not.
Right, I hope not. But
you know, we don't think we've had enough.
Yeah, we have had enough. So, good. Well, I appreciate it. I've signed the petition. I encourage our listeners to sign the petition at censuredonaldtrump.com. And I recently watched the film called 1776, which is a great film made from the Broadway play about the year of the American Revolution. And in it, they really go in depth about the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the work that went into creating that. And if you actually read the Declaration of Independence, you'll see a big chunk of the Declaration of Independence, which said we're going to separate out from England and be an independent country, was the list of grievances that the colonists in America had, and the fact that the King of England ignored their petitions to redress the grievances. And then that was really the fundamental basis for forming the United States of America. So what you're doing here with this petition for redress of grievance really has very deep rooting in American history.
Exactly. Right. It's been neglected, unfortunately. As a matter of fact, there's an instance there were so many petitions seeking the end of slavery that the House of Representatives basically banned further petitions. And through the work of John Adams' son, who
John
basically
Quincy
got
Adams.
That ban thrown out, and so there is no longer a ban on any petitions, and we hope that ours will have the effect of getting Congress to move in the right direction, leading the country to getting Trump out of there as soon as possible.
Fantastic. And what was it of the so many abhorrent things that that Trump has done, what was it that motivated you to go ahead and write up this petition to censure Trump?
Well, actually, as I said earlier, there was a lawsuit, and there is a lawsuit pending in New York City about the Emoluments Clause. And I, as a lawyer, I studied it, and it occurred to me that the government, and the horrible thing about this is the United States Department of Justice is defending Trump in this lawsuit involving the Emoluments Clause. And I could see that this case might go on in court until after Trump's first term of office was over. And that's one of the problems with litigation, is it can take forever. So I thought, well, there's got to be some way in which to get these matters, bring them to a head sooner. And that's what caused me to come up with the idea of a petition to Congress seeking censure. There's not a time problem with that as there is with litigation.
Well, I think it's a brilliant move. I think it's fantastic. I applaud you for doing it. And there are other actions, of course, people can and our take about dealing with Trump and the fallout from his various antics. One of the things you mentioned in a call preparing for this interview was that Massachusetts is considering legislation making it a requirement to disclose your tax returns in order to be on the ballot for president starting in 2020. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I know that there have been some officials in Massachusetts who are supporting such legislation, and it seems to be perfectly legitimate. And as a matter of fact, one of our grievances is his failure to have produce his tax returns, which tells people something about his business and enterprises, and also tells us something about what emoluments he is getting. So I think that's a nice move by Massachusetts, and other states ought to try to do the same thing.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about the president continues to, you know, receive profits from foreign governments in violation of the Constitution, all the other things, there's so many things that Trump has done. It's like one or two a day almost seem to be jumping out at us. And it's hard to keep track of them all. But actually, you are literally keeping track of some of the major activities that are problematic by Trump. And it's one of the benefits I see in your petition here is that you actually have a list that you began and you've been adding on as new behaviors and new actions have been taken by Trump. You have a nice record there. So in case we forgot, we can remember really what Trump has been doing since he's been in office. So thank you for that.
Exactly. That's one of the thoughts I did have, too.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Our listeners, please go to censuredonaldtrump.com, sign the petition, take action. And Jules Bernstein, thank you so very much for being with us today and for all
My
your
pleasure.
Creative action for America.
Appreciate the opportunity, Eleanor. Thank you.
Stay tuned for our next guest. Jerry Taylor is the president and founder of the Niskanen Center, a libertarian think tank in Washington, D.C. Prior to founding the center in 2014,